Thanks, Laurel. That was a great lesson. I think all of us can take that to heart. I'm just going to start with some prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each person who's here. I thank you for this body and for all my brothers and sisters. I pray you would continue to knit us together, and I just pray that you would help in what is shared this morning. I pray that it would be edifying and would make sense and would speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to hear from you in areas where you want to help us and call us further along the path you have us on. Amen. So I wanted to share a little on the parable of the talents. It's in Matthew chapter 25. Just a few themes or thoughts that were speaking to me, encouraging to me this week as I read and reflected on these things. It says in Matthew 25, verse 14, it says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the one who had received 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, so I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" And so, it's a lengthy parable. I just have a few themes and things that I wanted to share coming out of it. The first one is found in verse 15. Because I think there's a principle here that is, and it's going to tie into some of the other parts, but a principle here that is important and helpful in our service for the Lord. And in verse 15 it says, "To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey." So we know he gave 5, 2, and 1, and he said it's according to his own ability. And what I was taking from that is it's a great comfort that, like, this parable has a strong warning. Like, you get to the end, and it doesn't end well for the person who buried their talent in the ground and wasn't faithful. But with that warning, we also have the promise and the encouragement that when God entrusts us with something, God and what he's asking of us, and if we take anything from these parables, and there's different ways you can see this, but it's very clear that this is a parable Jesus is teaching, that there's a response. He's trying to teach people, I'm looking for a response. I'm going to give you something, and I'm looking for a response from you, how you are going to act with what I give you. But in that, it says he gives it according to our own ability. And that means that we never need to look at somebody who has received 5 talents, however you want to interpret that. We never need to look at another brother or sister and the ways that God has used them and has gifted them, whether that be spiritually, financially, any of these things. It helps us to say, you know what? God has given me, because each one of us, if we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have received a talent, whether it's 5, 2, or 1, or 10. You've received a talent. But that talent isn't something that we look around and start comparing ourselves with others and saying, oh, this person can do this. I've even heard it said, and I agree, we shouldn't even look at the gifts of others and say, man, I wish I could be like that brother or that sister and have that gift or that ability or be entrusted with. Maybe some brothers, some families have more financial means, others have less. We should never, ever look and see and say, man, I just wish I had that. Because God has given to each one what is perfect for us, what is perfect for our ability, for the way he created us. And when he returns and when he evaluates us, when we're giving an account to him for our lives, he is never going to say, Mr. 2 talents, why didn't you trade and get 5? He says, Mr. 2 talents or Miss 2 talents, you traded and were faithful with 2. Well done. Well done. Enter into the joy of your master. We will be evaluated according to what he's given us. And it helps us. And I want to read a few verses that tie into this. One of the first is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll start maybe in verse 11. Paul is talking about some of these super apostles or apostles who are kind of deceiving the Corinthian church. And he says, in response to that, he says, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God has apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even as far as you. And I probably should have read verse 10. This is talking about the comparison. It says, for his letters, the false apostles are saying, his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech is contemptible. And Paul says, these people are foolish. And why are they foolish? Because they are evaluating Paul and actually encouraging others to evaluate Paul based on his speaking ability. Based on his speaking ability. And we would say, oh no, we would never do that. But do we? I mean, do we look at a certain preacher and really look up to him because he's a dynamic speaker, a forceful speaker, a really intelligent person who can reason and debate well? This is not God's criteria. And if we're comparing based on these things, Paul says we're foolish. Because Paul says, let them consider this, that my heavy and strong letters, the things you hear me writing about, when I am with you in person, don't worry about how I'm speaking, but realize the fact that the truths that I'm writing you about are real and occurring in my life. They're happening in my deeds, in my actions. These very weighty letters and things that I'm writing about, they're actually manifesting and real in my life. I'm not writing about things or preaching about things that aren't true in me to be someone that you can look up to just for how I speak. But my life lines up with what I've been writing about. And you could say the contrary. I would suggest that some of these great orators and speakers that were sort of deceiving the Corinthians, their lives didn't actually have the substance of what they were preaching about, or they certainly didn't have the substance of Paul's life. And Paul isn't asking, and in some cases, Paul does even compare himself to the to some of these apostles, but it's only to try and help the Corinthian church. He himself says, it's actually foolishness what I'm doing. I shouldn't actually have to compare myself with these people, but I do it for your sake. And that's for context if you read otherwise in Corinthians. But the principle here is Paul says that it is foolishness to compare ourselves with one another, in particular as it relates to things such as speaking, or I would expand on it to say gifts or some of these external things. Like Paul is saying, like, it's foolishness, and in this case there's other aspects to it, but for ourselves, even if it's two genuine brothers or sisters, we're still foolish to compare ourselves if we're comparing on the basis of the gifts and the sphere that God has given us. God gives one person a sphere that might be very large, and that's God's choice, and that's his way. Others may have a sphere that is much smaller. Maybe God has given us in a sphere of our influence. Maybe some have been given a sphere that is either spiritually or naturally involves a big group of people, maybe 100 people, hundreds of people. And others have been given a sphere that maybe involves three or four, I would say. Maybe think of a mother with a few children. What is the sphere? Doesn't matter. What matters in God's eyes is whether we're faithful. Whether we're faithful, and we may get to the end, and there may be one who had a big public face and had very very apparent responsibilities, and God may say, you know what, you actually weren't that faithful. Everybody thought you were great because you had at times this big public ministry or responsibility, but you know what? Look at this mother, look at this person or father or a person who had a very small sphere, but they were faithful with that. They were faithful with what I entrusted them. They laid down their life. When I was prompting their heart to do something, to be obedient, to deny themselves, when I was prompting their heart to take those steps of obedience, they were faithful in that. They didn't just go and serve themselves and live for themselves. Well done to those who are faithful in the small sphere God may have entrusted us. And don't look at the outside. That's man's eyes. God is looking at the heart and how we deal with the responsibilities and with the talents that he's entrusted to us. I'm going to read just a couple more. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, this is just following what instruction that all of us can take heed to, which is offering our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And then he transitions, or maybe it's not even a transition, but he flows into saying, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Each has been given a measure of faith, and whether that refer to how we conduct ourselves later on, just a chapter later in Romans, he talks about different foods and different things that some believers have faith to partake in certain things, and others were struggling with that, and maybe that's the context. But what I can tell you here is the principle that's very clear is God has given to each a measure of faith. And we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And what is that? When I read that, I think of two things. The first is, we don't have to think of ourselves and compare ourselves with others and saying, whether it be something that is a ministry, or even if we look at the example in Romans about different things that you may look at a brother or sister and kind of go, I'm kind of surprised that they have liberty to do that. And in Romans, it was about food they were eating. You could kind of say, I'm surprised that they have liberty to do that, but don't judge them. Don't look down on them. Just say, you know what? Maybe God's given them faith that, and this is not black and white sin things. If it's black and white sin, we don't have to think this way. But there are lots of areas where we don't know exactly the convictions that are on everyone else's hearts. So we don't judge them, but we also don't think of ourselves more highly as well. We don't compare ourselves and say, well, because they do this, because they choose to conduct their family in this way, or because this brother or sister chooses to do this, therefore I'm going to do it too. That is the wrong standard. That is thinking of ourselves according to their faith. And Paul says, no, each of us has been given a measure of faith, and we need to be wise with that. We need to be wise with that, because what we could end up doing is harming our conscience. We could end up harming our conscience because we are going and partaking of things just because we're comparing ourselves with others. And what's important is that we live according to the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, to our conscience, to the faith we've given us. And then you could apply that also to maybe talents that God has given. We look at a brother or sister or another person and say, well, they were, God's entrusted them, maybe with, I'll pick an example that for us men can be a test. God has entrusted them with a lot of responsibility in their career. And maybe that responsibility has come with some financial rewards. Because they are so faithful in that responsibility, they're paid well. Then we look at that and say, oh, okay, well, I want to make that my ambition to have that same level of responsibility and financial, even if you're, maybe you're holy enough to say, oh, I don't want the finances, I just want the responsibility, because they're a blessing to many people. They're a real blessing in how they are faithful in their responsibility. And I can say there's people in that room who are that way. They're faithful in their responsibilities and they're a blessing to many because of that. But then do I compare myself to that and say, that's my goal? I want to become responsible like that brother. I won't say I want to be rich like or have the salary of that brother, because I know that that may be not super spiritual, but I'll say I want the responsibility that that brother or sister has because that they can be a blessing to many. I say to you, watch out, be on guard, because you may not have been entrusted with the faith and the talents that God has entrusted that brother with. And that doesn't make him better than you. It's just different. God has entrusted them, and they're being faithful. Praise God. But God may not have entrusted us with that. God may have given us different talents. Maybe God has entrusted you with completely different talents. Maybe you've been given a soft and highly merciful heart, a heart that is deeply empathetic to others. And this is just my own thinking, but sometimes a heart that is that way maybe doesn't get the same responsibilities in a business context, because you have to be sometimes fairly stern. But you're just different, and you may not rise to become a manager of hundreds of people or 50 people because God has given you a heart and a gift and a responsibility that is different. But don't wish you were somebody else. Just ask God to show you how you are to be faithful. What am I to be faithful with, God? What are the ways that you want me to use the talents you've given me, and how can I be faithful? What is your responsibility for me? And be on guard against wanting to be like somebody else, wanting to have or covet or desire what God has entrusted to others, because it can lead you to a stumble. It can lead you, and what's more, if you end up thinking more highly than yourself than you ought, God may, you may find that you're bashing and kicking against God's will for your life, and you're like actually thinking, why am I not getting the promotion? Why am I not getting these responsibilities that I want, because I know it's going to be good for God if I get these responsibilities? You could end up kicking against that, and you could end up in a place where you're actually discouraged and despising the very thing God wants to give you, only because you're comparing it to someone else and not saying, okay, God, these doors are closing. This path that I wanted is not opening up. You must have something better for me. You must have something better for me. And you know what, God? Take the blinders off my eyes. Help me to see. Help me to see the responsibility and the way you want me to be faithful. Let me be a good and faithful slave in what you want me to understand. And help me not to be ignorant or unwise by comparing myself, but help me to actually be very wise and see the way you're guiding me in the areas you want me to be faithful, Lord. Help me to see that so I can be a blessing in the ways you want me to be a blessing. So we never want to compare ourselves according to gifts, according to talents. We never want to compare ourselves in that way, because it is foolish. It is foolish. And I can tell you, I'm saying these things, I can tell you, even in the last year, I've had to remind myself at different times, oh, careful, Joel, careful. That's, I think you're maybe getting a little misguided and thinking that somehow the path that God has chosen for this brother or that brother is somehow related to your path. Don't do that. Don't do that. God has a path for you. And the only reason I bring that up is I say that I've been serving the Lord for 24, 25 years now, and it's still this verse, which can seem so simple, it's still relevant to me, even today, that at times God has to kind of check me and bring me back onto the right path and help remind me that I don't need to compare myself, or I don't need to justify pursuing things that maybe I would kind of like for myself because I want to put a spiritual badge on it. Like, no, it's something we need to continue to allow God to teach us in our lives and be thankful for the sphere God has given us and the responsibility He's given us, and be faithful in the ways God has entrusted to us. And the other thing I would say is, we don't want to compare ourselves, but I personally believe we can be spurred on by one another, not in the talents, not in the gifts, but in the faithfulness. Because I can say from my own life, I've read many missionary biographies. I even have observed the testimonies of brothers and sisters in this fellowship. There has been distinct times I can remember where I have seen the faithfulness of someone and been challenged. And it doesn't discourage me, but it just says, man, I just remember a specific situation for myself where I could lay out all the reasons why I maybe would say no to certain opportunities to lay my life down. I've got a family, I'm busy and different things. And I just saw a brother one time who was consistently faithful, very similar family situation to myself, but consistently faithful in laying down his life and prioritizing God's work, and not to the neglect of his family, but prioritizing God's work in a certain way. And you know what? God entrusted him with more. And I don't despise that, and it may have never been God's plan for anybody other than that brother to be entrusted with what he got entrusted with. But I just look at my own life and say that it was a challenge to me. I said, man, he didn't listen to those excuses that I may listen to not to be faithful. He just was faithful. And I think from that aspect, we can compare ourselves. Not to say I needed to do what that brother did, but there is an opportunity there in that case, in my opinion, to be challenged and spurred on by others in their faithfulness. Not in the giftings, not in the talents, but in the faithfulness that they show. Because we can all see and encourage one another, because that we all need. This is a long journey. The master went away for some time in Matthew 25, and the slaves needed to be faithful during that period. And in that context, the extent that we're all encouraging one another to remain faithful with the talents God has given us, I think that is good, or spurring one another on to do that. So the end conclusion of this, the reward, I've already talked about it a lot, but I'll just read it again. The reward they got and the response from the master to those who did good was, well done, good and faithful slave. It wasn't necessarily well done. The fruit of it was they had these talents. The fruit of it was that they traded and made more. But the thing that the master was pleased with was that they were faithful with what he had entrusted them. That is the lesson of the parable. Let's not get fixated on the talents. I have a few things to thoughts to share about that, but don't get fixated on the talents. The principle here is, and if we look at what is our responsibility, what are we to take away, what is to speak to our hearts in this parable? It's to be faithful. It's to be faithful. That's the lesson Jesus is trying to teach. And that's the challenge to us, is to say, am I being faithful, Lord? Is there ways that I've been distracted? Are there ways that I'm looking at someone else's talents and it's distracting me away from the ways you want me to be faithful? Because being faithful is critical to our walk. And if you read the end conclusion here, this faithfulness goes down to the very core. It affects our ability to be a blessing to others and to be used in the spheres and the ways God has challenged us to. But in the end, this unfaithful servant, he didn't just lose his talents. He ended up where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. He ended up in a place of judgment. And don't read that into the fact of saying we have a harsh Heavenly Father, because we're going to learn about that. But I read that to say this. The reason I emphasize that is because this faithfulness that God is asking us to, calling us to, is critical. It is not something that if I'm faithful, I'll do really good, but if I'm not faithful, well, I'll just get some luck. No, it is foundational to our spiritual walks that we be found faithful. So I want to read a couple of verses on that. The first is in Luke 16, verse 10. I'm not going to go through this whole parable of the unrighteous steward because I wouldn't say I have full clarity on it all. It's a challenging parable, but there is still a truth here that is extremely clear in this parable. It says in verse 16, verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will love one and hate the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." So in this context, our faithfulness is being tested in two things. Most obvious is financial. And it says, if we're faithful in a very little thing, we'll also be faithful in much. So I'm challenged by this to say, God is looking for how I am faithful in the area of money and finances. If I am faithful in this area, He says, I can also be faithful in much. So as we go through our lives, and the challenge to me through this, as we go through our lives, these little things that God asks us to be faithful for, and they are sprinkled throughout our days and our weeks and our months and our years, these little areas where God is calling us to be faithful, He sees it as whether, how we respond to that, He sees it as how we're going to be responsible for being entrusted with much more. These little things are actually, the way we handle the little things, we'll say it this way, the way we handle the little tests and the little things is the very same way we're going to handle the big tests. And we can tell ourselves, oh, in this little area, it's okay for me to be unfaithful. I don't have to necessarily obey this conviction that God's given me about money, or I don't have to quite follow the instruction of Scripture in these certain things. It's not a big deal. Jesus says, you know what? If you're treating the small things, if you're unfaithful in the small things, you're also going to be unfaithful in the big things. But it comes conversely with a promise that as we apply ourselves and as we say, you know what, God, help me to be faithful in the little convictions you give me. Help me to be faithful in the stewardship of money and how I use my resources, how I operate in my job. Because I will just say to this, when it says, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, so that's money, and if you have not been faithful in the use of what is another's, that's our jobs. At least that's one clear application of that. Because in our jobs, we are entrusted with, like, somebody is paying us for our time, or somebody is paying us to do a task. If we're not faithful, that's like we're being entrusted with what's another's. Like, the owner of the company, the boss, is saying, I'll pay you to do this. And if we're not faithful in what we've been entrusted in that area, how can God give us our own responsibility and true riches? It's a test. It's a test. And we need to be faithful. And I don't say this to put a yoke on you. I do not want anybody to walk out of here, because the devil can use these things and twist them and bring you into bondage where you're like freaked out about how you use every second of every day. I don't want anyone to walk out of here with that bondage. But I do want us to walk out of here saying, am I being faithful? I can tell you, my boss is here, but I can tell you certain days I get to work and my mind is like a wild horse. It just wants to run here, run there, look at my phone, do all kinds of things. And I can tell you on multiple occasions, and it is hard. It is hard. But I can tell you my own testimonies on multiple occasions, I've recognized it. And I've been like, listen, I'm just going to sit down and do one task here because I can just see my mind. And it is hard. Like, it's like you're literally trying to harness a horse. But I tell you on multiple times, I sat down and just forced myself. I'm just going to do something, even if it's not the perfect task. I'm just going to do something because I know it's not good to be all distracted and accomplishing nothing. I can tell you, some of those mornings, when the morning starts, it's like, this is so hard, and this is kind of tough, and maybe a little miserable. I can tell you by lunchtime, I'm like, wow, I have so much joy right now. This is a really good day. I'm so thankful. And why is that? In my opinion, it's because God, there's a blessing there. God is like saying, like, Joel, That was the right call. You did the right thing there in disciplining yourself not to get distracted and pulled in all these directions, but rather just do one thing because you know that you're paid to be here to do something. Do it. And I can tell you, when I do that, I end up some of those days with a lot, like my morning transforms itself, and there's a lot of joy and peace after a few hours. And it's a small thing. I don't want to call it a big thing. I want to call it being faithful in a small thing. And in that, God is pleased, and there's a blessing in that. And that's just my own example and one testimony. So a couple more verses. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. So now we're going to start to read a little bit about spiritual riches. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writing to Timothy says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And there's actually two little truths here. The first one, and the most obvious, is those who are going to get entrusted with teaching others in the church. What is the criteria that Paul uses? That they're good public speakers? They're powerful orators? That they're big time, like they're leaders? Look to the men in your group who seem to be the leaders. Maybe use their careers as an evaluation. That's a worldly principle, and it's how much of the church operates. Who do we see as the leaders in many mega churches and stuff? It's businessmen, wealthy men. That's garbage. Paul says the criteria from the Holy Spirit is those who are faithful. That's the criteria of who gets entrusted with the responsibility to teach others. Those who are faithful. And if we want to aspire, now we're talking about getting into some of the more spiritual riches. If we want these spiritual riches, and I hope all of us do, it's not wrong to want these riches, then, and we don't want to be desiring to be teachers of others so we can be esteemed or looked up to, but just to be able to have the responsibility to serve God in whatever way he asks, whether it's to be a teacher or other ways that God puts us into service, those who are put into service in the body of Christ are going to be those who are faithful. That's the criteria. And what's more, you can also learn from this, when Paul says these things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, there are also truths and things that Paul spoke of to Timothy that he wasn't actually going to entrust these men to, and nothing against the men, but it was a responsibility on Timothy here also to discern and understand, listen, these are the things that were spoken to many, and these are the things I spoke just to you, Timothy, because not everybody necessarily is ready to hear these things or be challenged in these ways. But Timothy, he knew Timothy was faithful. He knew Timothy could be given that responsibility to discern which was to be entrusted to which and find some faithful men. And if you just turn back to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Just cutting into a section where Paul is talking about the gospel. He says, according to 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So Paul had been entrusted with the gospel. And if you've read, I'm sure most of us have read Galatians, he says, I didn't get it from men. Nobody gave me the gospel I preach. I was given it directly from God. That's how Paul got the gospel he preached. Direct revelation through the Holy Spirit from God. And why? I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. So Paul had many, there was reasons why God had chosen Paul, but the one that Paul calls out right here is he was faithful. When he received the calling of God, when he received instruction from God, when he received direction from God, he was faithful. And what's more, the gospel he got, when others challenged it and questioned him on it, he held to what God had shown him and remained obedient to it, to the point where at one point he says, everyone in Asia left me. I was deserted. The whole church thought I was deceived and ended up following these other guys. Paul held and was faithful to what God had showed him, and not encouraging us to go and be islands unto ourselves and difficult to deal with because I'm going to be faithful to what God's shown me and I don't care what anyone else says. That's not the principle here. But the principle is, though, that when Paul heard from God how to live and the truth of his word, Paul stuck with it. And he says in verse 13, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. The contrast that is, like, even though I was all these things, because God considered me faithful, and he says he did them ignorantly in unbelief, but because God considered me faithful, he could look past some of these other horrible things that he had done, because he had found in Paul someone who would be faithful with the talents that he entrusted to Paul. Paul got given 100 talents, but you know what? He turned him into 100 more. And we don't compare ourselves on the gifts and the ministries, but we do know Paul's own testimony that he was faithful. He ran the race. He finished the race, as he says in 2 Timothy. I have finished my race. I made it to the end, and there is a crown laid up for me. There is a crown laid up for me. He knew there was a prize. He knew the master was coming and was going to say, well done, Paul. Well done. And it's not boasting. It's just he knew it. He'd run the race. He'd been faithful. And he was looking forward to the prize he was going to receive because he was faithful. He endured to the end and was faithful in all that God had entrusted him. I think that, let's just maybe go back to Matthew chapter 25. I'll finish there real quick. So why was the one slave, what happened there? Why was he unfaithful? Why was he unfaithful? He was unfaithful because he had a wrong view of his heavenly father. He had a wrong view that the heavenly father was a harsh taskmaster. And I was reflecting on this, and I think there's a couple ways we can interpret this, and they're both probably true. But like one way that could be is you're given a talent, but it's so narrow, but you could almost, I think a common perception of this is you're given a talent, but you're afraid to screw up. God wants me to be a preacher, or God wants me to prophesy, or God wants me to do this or that, but I'm too nervous to do it, so I bury my talent. That's one interpretation. And it's probably accurate in some cases. There could be some who've done that. But I would argue this. I would say we may need to expand our view of what talents is. There's no doubt that talents are responsibilities God gives us, spiritual gifts God gives us. But I would argue or suggest that maybe there's other ways God wants to entrust us with talents. But as we go through those circumstances, we actually end up with a wrong view of God. And hear me out with this. You may want to put this on the shelf and reflect on it. But I would say in my own life, some of the greatest ways that I am a blessing to others are difficulties and trials God has brought me through that I can then come alongside others and say, you know what? I've been there. Here's how God dealt with me. Here's how this circumstance and these situations went for me. And God was good at the end of it all. It was tough going through it. It was difficult, but it was good. And I clung to God. I didn't turn from him. I didn't start running around trying to solve my own problems. I let God do his work in my life, and it ended up being a blessing. But if I went through those circumstances and said, you know what? God is harsh. I don't have a good heavenly father. This is too tough. I don't like this circumstance. Well, if there was a talent there, it's now well under the ground. It's not going to be used for God's glory because I chose to see God as a harsh taskmaster. I chose to see the circumstances. I didn't say there's always, always, always something to be thankful for. I said, this is the circumstance that I have a right to complain in and grumble in and say, my God, my father is not that good. My father is a harsh taskmaster. He's being harsh to me in what he's allowed. He's being a harsh taskmaster to me. And I can tell you, part of the reason why I think this slave didn't just lose his talent, but ended up in the outer darkness, is this wrong view of God, that God is this harsh taskmaster, that he is a... And you know what? When God came back, he said, you're right. But it's kind of like a judgment. Like, if you want to call me harsh, God says, if you want to treat me and act as if I'm a tough father, a ruthless father, a harsh taskmaster, well, you may find me to be that way. But I would argue, if we're the other way and say, God is a merciful father, he's given me talents, and this test or trial or difficulty that's come into my life is actually perhaps a talent he's trying to trust me with. We may want the talents of, well, like, I want the talent of a big career. I want the talent of being a preacher, or a talent of a gift. I'm telling you, maybe there's a talent God's trying to give us in the difficult circumstance we're going through, where he wants us to walk through that circumstance, that suffering that many people go through. Loss of a loved one, I can think of in my own walk, just different situations that God has brought me through. And you know what? I got entrusted a talent in that circumstance that now when others go through the same situation, I can come alongside. I can get a return on that talent, not because of anything in me, because I can just testify to others what God has done, how he was good to me in this circumstance. And you know what? Then they get encouraged too. They get their faith built a little bit that God is good, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. But if we go through these circumstances that God is a harsh taskmaster, he's evil, he's ruthless, and we wouldn't necessarily use our words to say he's evil, but our attitude can confess that he is evil, then you know what? Yeah, you're gonna find yourself in the place of the unfaithful slave, where when Christ returns, it's not good. And you're right, we're not going to be faithful, because if we're in the situation where we think God is too hard on us and being too difficult to us, we're not motivated to be a blessing to others. We're not going around with something to give to others, because it's all inwardly focused and about how difficult and hard it is, rather than saying, you know what, God, this is your hand, you're good, I trust you, and even in the midst of my suffering, I can give to others. I can tell you, I was on a run last Saturday or two Saturdays ago, and this came to me as I just finished listening to another. I've listened to like probably three or four different biographies from Corrie Ten Boom. It's for whatever reason a story that has always really encouraged me. And I was listening to this one, and they were talking about the prison. Many of you are familiar with the stories, but her sister is saying they're in a concentration camp. I can't imagine too many situations worse than the one they're in. I mean, every time I read and listen to another biography, you get new insights of how horrible it was, what was going on. Her sister said to her, who ended up dying in the concentration camp, but God gave her a vision about how God was going to use this. She said to her, like, we have to tell people that even in the greatest darkness, God allowed these two sisters, their father's dead, the rest of their family's all torn apart and in prison, and these two sisters are in the most notorious prison. It was the most notorious prison, concentration camp for women in the entire empire of the Nazi Reich. It was a death camp. And her sister said, we have to tell people that God's light is greater than this darkness. That God's light is greater than this darkness. And that sister who said that, her testimony throughout, I've said this many times, but her testimony throughout is even in the midst of such misery, like just incredible misery, God is good. There's things to be thankful for. We can trust him. And I tell you, that talent did not get buried. And then I was thinking about it, and like I was thinking, like, Corrie Ten Boom, she came to the place where she realized that through all the circumstances was able to say, I have a good father, and God's light is greater than this darkness, and he can sustain me through it, and I can hope in him. Even when everything else is stripped away, I can hope in him. And what happened? Most of us know the story. She went on. God took that story and put a megaphone on it. And millions, I would go so far as to say millions, have been blessed by that. But I also was thinking, do I want that talent? A lot of other talents we could kind of get excited about, but do I want a talent like that, where God entrusts us to go through such a difficult circumstance so that we could be a blessing to others? She was faithful, right? She was faithful. She was faithful. She didn't despise God. She had to go through afterwards and go through great tests of forgiving people who had wronged her so horribly. But she was faithful. And those, I would say, 1,000 talents turn into millions of talents. And I just share that because for me, it was a bit of a question mark. It helped me get some perspective on how God may be wanting to entrust me with talents. There's natural abilities, there's financial things, there's gifts and spiritual gifts far greater than the other two I just mentioned. But I also would say that the trials and tests and difficulties, what God allows, are sometimes the very talents he wants to entrust to us, because we can see it, how these things can be a blessing to others if we're faithful. If we're faithful, if we see God is good even as we go through them. These difficulties. I know some in this church have been going through great difficulties. Great difficulties. God wants to use it. It wants it to be a talent. At the time, we just may be trying to endure through it. Stay faithful, not grumble and complain. But I can tell you, because most of us have seen it, those who have walked through difficult circumstances can be a blessing to others if they've done it through faith and trust in God. So I share that because I think the talents can be interpreted in many ways. But for me, that was a bit of a fresh look at maybe how one other angle of how God wants to entrust us with talents. But he needs us and wants us to be faithful.